Okay, welcome back to Shmuel Beis. We are, Mitzvah Hashem, finishing Shmuel Beis tonight. We're in the last Perek, Perek Chaf Dalet. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, the last Pasuk we learned last time was Pasuk Yud Gimel. Just because we didn't learn last week, just a little brief review of what the Perek is talking about. So we know that in the beginning of the Perek, David counted Bnei Yisrael. He did a census. And we discussed the whole question as to why exactly he did that census. Seemingly, it was not the right thing to do. Yoav was very upset about it because of what the Pesukim say. It seems that they seem to say that you can't just do a census unless you count through some other medium, which he was not doing. So we discussed, you know, the Malvin had an approach why David did it. Maybe he did it because he wanted to know how many people were behind him, and he wanted to have a baseline so that in the future he could know when the soldiers come, because he was not confident. You know, with all these rebellions happening, he was not confident in terms of how many people were really supporting him. But after this, the Navi is clear that he did something wrong. That David did something wrong, and the pasuk says what we ended off with last time was God the Navi came to David, and he told him that I'm going to give you three options for your punishment. Very interesting, right? Usually we're not given choices as to how we're punished, but David here was given three options. This is Pasuk Yud Gimel. Hasava lecha sheva shanim ra'av be'artzecha. So either you can have 3 years of, I'm sorry, 7 years of famine in your land. We discussed last time also that in Divrei Hayomim it says 3 years, which would actually fit with the other punishments, which we'll talk about in a minute. And maybe it was really 3 years, but it only said seven because we know we already had a 3 year famine. Plus there was a year of Shemitah. So the three plus one is basically a 7 year famine. that was one option. Option two, im shlosha chadashim, nuscha lifnei tzarecha, v'hurod fecha, or 3 months where basically you're on the run from your enemies. That's option two. And option three, Fim Hayos Shloshes Yomim Dever Be'artzecha, that's a 3 day plague. A 3 day plague in the land. Those are the three options that David was offered. Okay, now we're up to Pasuk Yud Dalet. And now David has a response to God, and this will be a very familiar Pasuk. Yeah.
What was the David Lashon? Vayagedo, Vayomer Lo? Did we discuss that?
I don't think so. Right. Good point. Vayovo God el David vayagid lo. Vayomer lo. Yeah. Good. I don't think we discussed it. I don't remember seeing Mefarshim pick up on it. One second. Let me just look quickly here to see if anybody does.
I know there's a difference between being a magid. Remember?
Yeah.
We learned that someone came back from the battle and they called him magid.
Okay.
Was that the messenger from?
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's a good point.
Could it be the three items that he was telling him, the three options? Vayavo is one of them. Vayagate is another one. Vayomer is the other one. Maybe told him three separate times. I mean, I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. I hear you. I'm not sure. Sorry?
With the famine, how did you get to the
331? So the Radak says that there was, we already had 3 years of famine, right. That we discussed because as an Onesh, yeah. That we already had. Plus this was would be another 3 years,
right.
And plus 1 year of Shemitah.
Oh, right.
1 year of Shemitah where things are not, I'm sorry? So that was David's. If you remember that was David's claim to God. That's what he said to him, right? Or is that what he will say to him? Hold on. Yeah, I think he said that. It's been 2 weeks. Hold on. I think. Did he say that already? He made that point at some point to God. Either he did already or he will. I don't remember. I think the Mefarshim said in Pasuk Yud, if I'm not mistaken, I don't have my notes from Pasuk Yud in front of me, but I think the Mefarshim said in Pasuk Yud that David says to Hashem, Chatasi me'od asher asisi, v'yato Hashem havernas avon avdecha, ki niskalti me'od. This was my foolishness. This was my mistake. Right? Yeah. The Metzudas David says, I made the mistake to count them. Uma poshu heim l'sheyamusu b'magefa. What did they do that they should die? That's the that's how Metzudas David understands his taina. So we already had that taina. Apparently HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't agree with it 100%. And again, keep in mind, it's not like Bnei Yisrael were, you know, it could be that this onesh was rolled in, you know, because of something else. So whether it was the rebellions or it was other things, you know, it could be that other than they were punished because of other things also, it could be that David's onesh got this all started, and then they were punished because of other things that they had done. Okay. Pasuk Yudal. It should be a very familiar pasuk, at least to the men in the room. Vayomer David al God, tzareli ma'od. We say it every day in Tachanun. Right? Usually two times a day. Tzar li ma'od, niplana v'yad Hashem. I want to fall into the hands of Hashem. Ki rabim rachamov, because Hashem has incredible mercy. Uviyad adam alepola. I don't want to fall into the hands of man. And David, as the Mefarshim explain here, is essentially looking at these three options, and he says, well, one is famine, one is an enemy, and one is a plague, right? Now the enemy is clearly the hands of man, right? That's going to be human enemies that are going to be chasing me. Now famine, you would think, is the hands of Hashem, right? Isn't famine the hands of Hashem? But the Mefarshim say no. Famine is also considered to be biyat adam. Why? Because people have food stored up. So you know there might be a famine in the land. But what about all the grain that's in the silos and all the food that's stored up? Those people essentially control the markets. So they can jack up the prices, they can sell, they can lower the price, they can do what they want. So famine is not just biyad adam. I'm sorry, famine is not just biyad Hashem, it's also biyad adam. The plague, right, this dever, that was the third option, that's only biyad Hashem. That's only biyad Hashem. As we saw from COVID, right? It's Biyad Hashem. As much as we spun our wheels and tried this and tried that, at the end of the day, it's Biyad Hashem. Right? It's Biyad Hashem. So the plague is Biyad Hashem. So that's why David chose that. And Rashi points out that even this, David says, Tzar li ma'od, meaning even that is not going to be pleasant. Right? This is not like a good option. This is the best of three bad options. Right? But David says, I'd rather be completely in the hands of Hashem, who has unlimited rachamim, than in the hands of man. Because man, who knows what they're going to do? Who knows what the enemy is going to do if they're chasing us? Who knows what the merchants who have all this food stored up are going to do to the markets? Who knows about all these things? Chazal also here point out that that David also was nervous about what people are going to say. And David said, if I choose the enemy, if I choose the Nuscha lifnei tzarecha. What are people going to say? Oh, why did David choose that? Because he is very strong. He has military prowess. So he's not afraid of dying. Other people are going to die, right? You know, the soldiers are going to die. Other people are going to die, but not him. So that's why David chose, the Nuscha lifnei tzarecha. And if I choose the famine, people will say, it's because of my wealth. I'm a wealthy guy, so yeah, the famine's not going to affect me. And all the regular poor people, the famine will affect them. So that's why David said, I have to choose the plague. I have to choose the dever because of that. That was his concern. Okay, and interestingly, the Radak points out that the other two, meaning the enemy and the famine, he said, number one, that will be a bigger disgrace for Bnei Yisrael in the eyes of the Umos Ha'olam, right? Because if it's a famine, we're going to have to go to the Goyim for food. And if it's an enemy, they're going to be chasing us. If it's a plague, it's a plague. Jews died, there was a Magefa, and they died. That's not embarrassing. There's no busha. There's no cherpa in a plague happening, right? It's not their fault, number one. And number two, he was concerned also, the Radak says, of, you know, mamish, Jews just dying in the street, right? You have a famine. Jews are going to die in the street. You have an oyev chasing them. Jews are going to die in the street. If there's a magefa, so then, okay, you know, you die. You die in the house. You die in the hospital. You know, you're not dropping dead in the middle of the street. But here, if there's a famine, people out and about trying to get food, and then people dropping dead. You know, unfortunately, you have these images, these terrible pictures of times of famine, certainly times of war, you know, bodies everywhere. And he that was a cherpa. That was a cherpa for Bnei Yisrael that he was concerned about.
So the word dever, why doesn't he use the word magefa?
Why
does he use
why dever?
Yeah, because dever, you would think, is something with the animals back in...
Well, that's how we understand it with Mitzrayim, but I...
Right, no, that's the animals yeah. in Mitzrayim.
I don't think it's always, but I don't think it's always that. I think...
I mean, personally,
yeah, you know? I don't know. Yeah, I hear you, I don't know. But
why would this, you know, if this Magefa comes and strikes the day Israel,
yeah.
How would they know that's a punishment against what David did?
Well, this is God is telling David this. I'm not sure how much people knew or people heard, or maybe David would tell them or somebody else. You know, somebody would get out. You know, if such a crazy thing happens, you know, it's got to be something. It's got to be something. So I imagine they wouldn't keep this secret completely. Now, it's interesting that Radak also points out that God hinted to David what he should choose. Why? Because how did Pasuk Yud Gimel end? He says, Ata da ure'e ma'ashiv sholchi davar. He says, please make a decision so I can report back and tell the Ribbono Shel Olam what you choose. But he uses the word davar, sholchi davar. So davar, says the Radak, hints to dever. He was hinting to David, like a subliminal message to David, that that's the one that you should choose. And that's the one that he chose in the end. That is what he chose. Pasuk Tesvav. Vayiten Hashem dever b'Yisrael me'aboker v'yad eis moed. So Kadosh Baruch Hu brings dever to Klal Yisrael from the morning, presumably it was the next morning, v'yad eis moed. Okay, we have to know exactly what does that mean. Moed means an appointed time, right? What does that mean? Vayamos min ha'a midon v'yad Be'er Sheva shivim elafish. From Don to Be'er Sheva, which is assumed basically from north to south, 70,000 Jews. 70,000 Jews. Now, there's a big debate here. What is this me'aboker v'yad eis moed? Now, keep in mind, what did we say when God proposed the three options? How long was never supposed to last?
3 days.
Okay? All the Mefarshim say that it did not last 3 days. And it did not last 3 days. And that's what the Pasuk says here, me'aboker v'yad eis moed. Kadosh Baruch Hu shortened it. Right? He shortened it from 3 days to this time period. Now, how long was this time period? So some say, me'aboker v'yad eis moed refers to from the morning until chatzos. Let's start with the biggest interval. Some say, Mitzudas David says, it was 24 hours. It was 1 day. Okay? That was 1 day. Some say it was until chatzos. And some say, which is half a day, and some say it wasn't even until chatzos. It was from the time that they shechted the Korban Tamid, me'aboker, from the time that they shechted the Korban Tamid shel boker, ad eis moed, until the sprinkling of the blood, until the zrikas hadam of the Korban Tamid. Okay, now that's a very short period of time, right? I don't know if it's an hour or it's a small period of time. Okay, but either way, it was shortened, and why was it shortened? So, Pashup Shat, Kadosh Baruch Hu had Rachmanas. David was right. Kadosh Baruch Hu was the Rachaman, right? So he said, you know, he was right. He gambled correctly. And Hashem had Rachmanas. And Hashem shortened it down from 3 days either to 1 day, half a day, or this hour, whatever it was, and quickly killed these 70,000 Jews. And that was it. And that was the end. That was the end of the plague. Now, So it's interesting that the Malbim quotes the Gemara in Brachos, that brings him this machlokes. Was it from the time of the shechting of the Talmud until the Zrikas Hadam, or was it until Chatzos? And he does the calculation that if you say it was 1 hour, right? Let's say from the time of the shechting of the Korban Tumah till the Zrikas Hadam, and in 1 hour, 70,000 were killed. So imagine, right? Imagine if it was in a day, how many would it be? So the Bavum does the math. It would be 1,610,000. Right? If you multiply 70,000 by 24, right? So that's what you're going to get. 1,610,000, which is greater than the number that Yoav came up with. When Yoav counted all the Jews, that was greater than the number that Yoav came up with. So the according to the first opinion, the Malbim says that really the decree was only on the 800,000 that Yoav counted. Right, Yoav counted 800,000. That was the number from last week. Yoav counted it 2 weeks ago. Yoav counted 800,000. So the real decree was only 800,000, right? So according to the second opinion that it was until Chatzos, he says if it was 70,000 in 6 hours, so then over 3 days, it comes out to 840,000, which is right about the 800,000. So really, that was the Gzar Din for the approximately 800,000 over 3 days, because Baruch Hu shortened it to either the 1 hour or the 6 hours, however your Cheshbon works out. Now the Radak quotes a Medrash that says, Why did this Rachmanus happen? It's supposed to be 3 days, and it shortened all this time. So let's say 3 days is 36 hours. No, right? Yeah. No.
12.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Correct. No, so why does it say...
It's 12, 12, and 12.
Well, 12, 12, and 12 is 3 half days. Yeah, so hold on a second. So I'm missing something in the Cheshbon here. Give me 1 second. This was the Radak. He gave the Cheshbon. 1 second. Okay. All right. I don't know why, but the Radak quotes a Medrash. It's a Medrash Shmuel, and it says that the decree, the Gzeira for the Dever, was really 36 hours. Why he said, why 36 hours, I'm not sure. But he says it was 36 hours. Maybe it was three like time periods. Instead of 3 24-hour days, it was three, you know, units of 12-hour periods, whatever, maybe. But that was 36 hours. So what happened? But he says that on that day, Bo'u Prakliten Gidolim Ubitlu Osab, that there were great defense attorneys that came and argued and defeated these 36 hours. Who were they? So the Medrash says, the five Chamisha Chumshei Torah, the five books of the Torah came, and they knocked off five, down to 31. The 7 days of the week came, and they knocked off another seven. Okay, so now we're down to 24, right? You'll double check my math. The 8 days before a bris came, and knocked off another eight. So now we're down to 16. The three avos came down to 13. That left 13. Then the Medrash says two different approaches. Either the 12 shvatim came and knocked it down by another 12 to 1, and that was the 1 hour that was left. Or the aseres hadibros plus the two luchos came and knocked it down also by 12. Either way, you're left with 1 hour. So this is the Medrash as to how we got. Now, what does that mean? Obviously, they didn't come and they didn't argue, but it means in the schus, right? In the schus of all these things, that Klal Yisrael has abided by all these things, right? Has kept the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, you know, Mekadesh, the 8 days before the bris, the three avos. In the schus of all these things, that those schusim stood for Klal Yisrael, and that's what knocked it down from 36 to 1. That's the Medrash. That's what the Medrash Shmuel says. Okay. But either way, we have these 70,000 Jews being killed by this dever. Now at this point, the malach, okay, and this was the malach that was the mashchis. See, this was the destroying malach. He turned his hand towards Yerushalayim to destroy Yerushalayim. Okay, now this is before the Beis Hamikdash was built, obviously, and not what we're used to hearing about destroying Yerushalayim. But he was basically going to, you know, destroy Yerushalayim, maybe kill David. That's what the Malach was going for. Vayinochem Hashem el hara'a. And Hashem regretted, right? In quotation marks, whatever that means exactly. But Hashem said, okay, enough. Enough of this killing, enough of the evil. Vayomer la Malach hamashchis ba'om rav ata. I'm sorry, rav. Enough, right? It's too much. Ata heref yadecha. Now move your hand away. Umalach Hashem haya im goren ha'aravna ha'yivusi. And the Malach Hashem was right by this goren. The goren is like a granary of this fellow, Aravna ha'yivusi. Aravna ha'yivusi. And we'll see why this is important in a minute. Okay? So this is how the plague ends. Now, in this spot, basically, okay, as we'll see, hold on a second. Who was this? So if you take a look at let's go a little weiter and then we'll come back. Pasuk Yud Zayin Vayomer David El Hashem Biroso Es Hamalach Hamakev Ha'am. So it's almost like we're going backwards. So now David sees the Malach killing the people, and he turns to Hashem and he says Vayomer, and he says, and this is along the same lines as the Mitzudas David explained before, Hinei Anochi Chatasi V'Anochi Ha'Avesi. I'm the one who sinned. I'm the one who rebelled against you. Ve'elatzon me'asu. These sheep, right? Meaning the Jewish people. What did they do wrong? Tihino yad chabi uveveisavi. Punish me. Stop killing them. Right? Meaning stop the plague, essentially. Pasuk yidches. Vayovo God el David bayomahu. Vayomelo. Alei hakeim la'ashem mizbeach. Begoren arav na'yevusi. So God comes to David on that day and he tells him, go up and build a mizbeach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on this place of the Goren of Aravna Hayavusi. And David does that. Vayal David kidvar God, kasher tziva Hashem, David comes up, just like God says, just like Hashem commanded. Okay? Now, what's going on here? What's going on? So, this image of an angel appears. The angel is positioned in this location of the Goren of Aravna Yevusi. Now, why in that location? This is going to be the makom of the Beis HaMikdash. This is Har HaMoriah. Okay? Now again, until now, in Tanakh, we've had very few references to this place. We know Akedas Yitzchak was here, right? We know, but otherwise we know very little about this place, right? About this place of Har HaMoriah. And essentially, since Akedas Yitzchak, perhaps, it's been quiet until now. This is, I'm sorry? Yaakov, maybe Yaakov when he slept had his dream there, right? Very good, okay, good. But from then, say for Bereishis, until Shmuel Beis, right, I think, do we have mention of a makom for the Beis HaMikdash? No. We don't have the Beis HaMikdash, we had the Mishkan was here, the Mishkan was there. This is now the first time that we're introducing. This is going to be the makom of the Beis HaMikdash. And this is how it begins. Right? This is how it begins. So the Malach is in this spot. David now davens in this spot. Vayomer David al Hashem. Biroso es HaMalach. So why did the Malach appear at this spot? To establish this makom as a makom of tefillah. Because Kadosh Baruch Hu knew that if the Malach is here, this is where David's going to daven. So David davens in this place. What's the second thing that he does in this place? Hashem tells him, through God Anavi, build a mizbeach. This is a place for tefillah, and this is a place for avoda, karbanos. That's what this place is all about. That's what this makom is all about. We'll see there's a miracle that comes. Okay? He stops the angel from destroying Yerushalayim. The angel, again, could have taken David, you know, could have destroyed David, could have killed David, but no, his chus stopped it. The Malbim also says that the chus of the Makom HaMikdash also stopped it. So it's not just that the chus of David stopped the Malach, but the chus of the Makom HaMikdash, and also the chus of the Efer of Yitzchak, Akedas Yitzchak, also stopped it. Some say, he He says also that the schus of the shkolim that eventually will be used to count Bnei Yisrael, and where were the shkolim donated? To the Beis HaMikdash, to buy korbanos for the korbanos tzibur. In the schus of those shkolim, also the plague stopped. Because we know the shkolim atone for a plague. Right? That's why we count through the shkolim. Right? So we don't have a plague. Okay, that's what the Malbim says on this pasuk also. Okay? So this was this place. Who was this fellow? The Mitzutas David quotes Chazal that say this guy was a Ger Tzedek. Right? Aravna HaYavusi, because Yavusi is not a Jewish nation. Yavusi was one of the Shiva Amamim. So he was from Yavusi, but he became a Ger Tzedek. That's what the Mitzutas David quotes in the name of Chazal. Okay. He comes up, he's told in Pasuk Yidches to come up, Aleh, right? And it says the Radak, the reason why the Pasuk uses Aleh, God uses the word Aleh, because he's coming to the Makom HaMikdash, right? He's coming to the Makom HaMikdash. You go up, you're going up in Kedusha, Aleh. This was a real Nevuah, okay? And now, it's interesting, the Malbim says that the angel, you know, the Malbim says, interestingly, that the angel, you know, we know angels only do one tafkid, only do one job, right? We know that. Angels only do one job. So this angel's job was to kill people. But now he's done killing people, right? Because Hashem told him to stop. So once he's done, he's now free to do other shlichus. So what else is he doing? So he says the nevuah that God Hanavi just received came from the angel. The angel was the one who brought the nevuah from Hashem down to God Hanavi, number one. And we'll see in a moment that there's going to be a fire that comes down on the Mizbeach, and the angel's doing that also. So once the angel stops killing people, now the angel's involved in all of these other things. Interestingly, he says also that the angel, Psukim say that Hashem can kill people. Hashem can also, Meimi Sumachaya. He also heals people, he brings people back to life, and he brings life to people. So to the angel. You have an angel that kills people, that same angel can heal people. And can stop magefas. Okay, so pasuk yites vayal David kidvar God kasher tziva Hashem. So David comes up just like God says, just like Hashem commanded. Vayashkef Aravna vayar es hamelach v'yas havodov ovrim alav. So Aravna sees, he looks out, and Rashi says, why does it say vayashkef? He was hiding. Why was he hiding? All these people are dropping dead, right? The angel's killing everyone. So he was hiding from the angel. He was hiding. He didn't want to get killed. He takes a peek out and he sees David HaMelech with his entourage coming towards him. David's coming. Got to come out. So he comes out and he bows down. And he says to him, you know, what brings you here today? Vayomer, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Vayomer Aravna. Madua ba Adoni HaMelech el Avdo. What brings you here today to your servant, to me? Vayomer David. Liknos me'imcha es hagoren, livnos mizbeach la'Hashem. I'd like to purchase your goren in order to build a mizbeach to Hashem, as God told him to do. Vateotzar ha'magefa me'al ha'om. And the magefa stopped. Pasuk says, or this is, so that the magefa will stop completely, this is what I need to do. Right? This is what I need to do. Then the Mitzudah Astov, it says, that what was the conversation here? Madua ba Adoni HaMelech el Avdo. So Aravna is taken aback. Because usually, even if let's say the king wants to do something, let's say the king wants to purchase a piece of land, he doesn't come himself, right? He doesn't show up himself. What does he do? He sends his servants. He sends his men to go and purchase the land, right? So he's asking, David, what brings you yourself to me? So to that he responds, Vayomer David, no. This is leaving us mizbeach la'Hashem. I apologize. I'm not coming to give you kavod. you must be a nice guy, but I'm not coming to give you kavod. I'm coming because I'm building a mizbeach la'Hashem. That's why I'm coming myself, and I'm doing it so that the magefa will stop. Pasuk chavveis vayomer aravna el David yikach v'yal Adoni HaMelech hatov be'enov. He says, absolutely not. I'm not taking a penny. Take it. Right? You're building a king is coming. Himself, the chavod v'atzmo, to build a mizbeach la'Hashem. I'm not taking any money for this. Absolutely, take it. Right? Yikach, take it. And bring the yal Adoni HaMelech HaTov, be'enav, bring whatever you want as korbanos. And he says, not only that, re'ei ha'bakar la'ola, look, I've got plenty of animals also. You don't even have to bring your own animals. Take my animals. Take my cows. I got plenty of cows. You could bring as karbanos. Not only that, v'hamorgim uchle abakar la'etzim. You need wood. You need firewood. Look, take my wagon. Take my plow. Break it up. Make it into firewood. Again, he was very, very forthcoming. Very happy to help. Very happy to help. Okay? Use all these things. Pasuk Chaf Gimel. Hakol nasan aravna hamelech lamelech. So Aravna gives everything to the king. Vayomer aravna lamelech. Hashem elokecha yirtzecha. Hashem elokecha should desire all your kabanos, everything that you want. However, David didn't want to take it. David didn't want to take it. Pasuk Chaf Dalet. Vayomer hamelech el aravna lo. No thank you. Ki kono ekne me'oscha b'mechir. I would like to purchase it. Right? I want to buy it. I don't want it for free. Velo ala l'Hashem elokai olos chino. He says, I'm not bringing karbanos from gifts. Right? Olos chino. I'm not bringing karbanos from gifts. If I'm going to do something for the Ribono Shel Olam, I want to shvitz for it. I want to work for it. I want to pay for it. Vayiken David esagorin ve'esabokar bechesef shkolim chamishim. So he took out his wallet. He gave him 50 shekel. Sounds like a good deal for a piece of real estate. He gave him 50 shekel, and he bought the property, and he was going to build this mizbeach on the property. Now, 50 shekel doesn't sound like so much. The Malbim points out that in Divrei Hayomim it says it was 600 shekel. So what happened? Right, this whole perek is like this. There is between Divrei Hayomim and Shmuel Beis. So what's going on? So the Malbim says the Chazal tell us that it was really 50 from each shevet. When it says he took out 50, he took out 50 that was from Shevet Yehuda, and then he took out the 50 from every other Shevet, and altogether it was 600. That was that's one approach to answering the question. Others say that the entire field cost 600. The 50 was just for the makom of the mizbeach, right? He bought that separately. The makom of the mizbeach he bought separately for 50, and then for the rest of the field he paid 600. And the reason is because he bought the mizbeach first, okay. And look at pasuk chaf hey, and then we'll come back and talk about a couple of things before we end. Vayiven sham David mizbeach laHashem. So David builds this mizbeach. Vayal olos shlamim, and he brings olos shlamim. Vaye oser laHashem laoretz vateyatzara magefa mial Yisrael. And this is desired by Hashem, and Hashem answered the tfilos, and the magefa stops. Now, the Mefarshim say here that there was a nace. What was the nace? That when he brought these karbanos, the fire came down miraculously from Shemayim and consumed the karbanos. Just like we know by Elio Anovi, this happened. Right? The same thing happened by David. So according to some of the Mefarshim, he bought the makom of the Mizbeach for 50 shekel. He built this Mizbeach. He started bringing karbanos, and all of a sudden, this miraculous fire comes down, consumes the karbanos. And it hits him, and he says, okay, this is the makom of the Mishka. This is the makom of the Beis HaMikdash. So then he goes back to Arav Na'ivusi, and he says, okay, I'd like to buy the whole place. Right? This is a good spot. I'd like to buy the whole thing, and here's 600 shekel for the whole field. Right? So that's the second approach.
So even though he didn't build the Beis HaMikdash, he still bought the property of the Beis HaMikdash.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So I'm never born.
Nope. Yes. Similar to Ephraim. We'll get to that. Very good.
So Rabbi.
Yeah.
How come we all know about Avram buying from Ephraim?
Right.
But we don't hear that our claim to Yerushalayim wasn't the basis of a sale from David from this Yebusi. How we don't hear about
you're saying,
that?
You're saying this is why such a not, big deal.
Why are we not throwing this to the Arabs now and say, just like we bought Hebron?
We bought Harabayas.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's because we don't learn Navi enough.
They
everybody learns the story of Maras HaMachpelah, right? It's in Parsha. Parsha HaShavua, but it's Shmuel, the end of Shmuel Beis. Who learns the end of Shmuel Beis? But you're right. You're right. I'm sure people do say this. You know, we have proof from Tanakh that this is the case. But what's interesting is that a perek that starts out so tragically ends on a high note. And really, this is the culmination of the whole Sefer. And if you think about it, you know, Malachim is really going to be the transition from the end of David's life to to Shlomo HaMelech and to the Beis HaMikdash, you know, we're ending on a high note here. That even though things, there were challenges, just like we'll learn, throughout, say for Yehoshua, Shoftim, certainly Shmuel Aleph, Shmuel Beis, there are challenges, right? But we're ending on a high note that this is going to be the Makom HaMikdash. This is going to be the Makom of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, two interesting things that I saw mentioned in Rabbi Lapiansky's Sefer, is Sode Anavim. So he mentions, number one, he quotes a Gemara in Makos. And this is the Gemara basically proves that this Makom, it was known a little bit that this was the Makom HaMikdash. Maybe it needed to be confirmed to David with this nes of the fire, but essentially this was something that was known. And the Gemara talks about that that David actually started drilling. He started like digging in this Makom, almost to build like the foundations for the Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara says that when he started digging, what happens when you dig in the five towns? There's water everywhere. Right? Remember they were building DRS. They started digging and they for the next 2 months they had to deal with the water. There was so much water that was under it. Right? So all of a sudden, shisim kafa tahoma. Right? The tahom started like bursting forth, when David started digging. And it was so bad. It was threatening to flood flood the whole world. Wanted to flood the whole world. So he said, "What am I going to do? How am I going to quiet this down?" So he said, "The only thing I can do is maybe I can write the Shem Hashem on a piece of cheres, throw it down into the tahom, and maybe that'll put it to rest." But he didn't know if he was allowed to do this. So he said, he asked the Shiloh of all of his advisors, "Am I allowed to do this, or am I not allowed to do this?" And he threatened them, "Anyone who knows and doesn't tell me is going to, will be choked." Yechonek b'grono. So Achitofel, remember Achitofel? Mm-hmm. Achitofel made a kal v'chomer. And he said to himself, we find the Torah says that if you have a shalom bayis issue between husband and wife by the sota, so what does the Torah say? You write the parash of the sota, including Shem Hashem, and you erase it to make shalom by nish li'ishto. So if that's the case, right? If that's the case, the whole world is going to be destroyed. Certainly you can write the Shem Hashem and throw it in. So he said to David, you're allowed to do it. Right? Achitofel had this kal v'chomer. He said to David, you're allowed to do it. So David did it and he threw it in and it calmed down. But nevertheless, you see the Gemara is proving from here that kilalas chacham afilu b'chinam hiba, that if a chacham, a gadol, gives a klala, it's going to come true no matter what. Even if he does it for a specific reason, it'll come true nonetheless. So here David said, whoever doesn't give me the answer will be choked, right? Yechonek b'grono. So the Gemara is proving from here that this is going to happen to Achitofel, even though Achitofel did give him the answer. And that's what the Pasuk says. Perek Yud Zayin, we learned it, that Achitofel saw that his Eitzah wasn't happening, so he went home, right? Vayitzav al Beisa, vayechonek. He committed suicide. Right, Achitofel committed suicide. Why did he do that? Kilas chacham, lo afil bechinam hiba. But the klal of a chacham comes true even bechinam. But Rashi explains on this story that David hadn't bought this. David hadn't bought this yet. Achitofel died. He says 3 years before this incident happened. Achitofel died back in Perek Yud Zayin. It's like 3 years before this whole incident happened. So Rashi says you have to say that even though he hadn't purchased this point, this place yet, Yodeya haya mina urav miyom shenim shach. As soon as he was anointed as king, when he was young, he knew who Shmuel bin when he sat the Yashu who Shmuel bin Navis Harama. He and Shmuel were sitting in Rama. Ubadku b'sefer Yehoshua matzu makom lebeis hamikdash. They did research into Sefer Yehoshua and they figured out that this was the makom hamikdash. Quotes a pasuk in Tehillim. To prove it, and that's why he asked Aravna Hayavusi 3 years before this, can I start digging? And Aravna said, yeah, sure, you could start digging. And then this whole incident happened. So you see that even though it sounds like from this perek that this is something like a new thing, that this is the Makom HaMikdash, but Rashi says from the Gemara and Makos that you see that this was something that already 3 years ago already David knew about, and he even started digging, started excavating for the foundations already 3 years ago. The last point that he quotes here from Rabbeinu Bachya is two minor points. Number one, you see that, and this is Rabbeinu Bachya in Bereishis, in Perek Chof Gimel, right, by Avram Avinu. So he says Avram Avinu was a sonei matanos, right? He didn't want anything for free. It was sonei, pasuk says, sonei matanos yichya, right? And he says, v'chein darkon shel tzadikim, that's the way of tzadikim, v'chein motzinu b'davra melech alav ha-shalom. Right, he quotes, and the Rabbeinu Bachya over there quotes this story of David HaMelech with Aravna Yevusi, that Aravna wanted to give it to him for free, and David said, absolutely not, I'm buying it. So you see here that just like Avram Avinu did not want to take it for free, as you said before, just like Avram Avinu did not want it for free, so too, David HaMelech didn't want it for free either. And the second point he makes, and this is in that same perek, a couple of psukim later, Rabbeinu Bachya points out that even though most of Eretz Yisrael was conquered by force, right, most of Eretz Yisrael was conquered by force, there were several parts that were purchased, right? And number one, Chevron, okay, Chevron with Maras HaMachpelah. Number two, Har Gerizim and Har Eval, which is where we accepted the bris upon ourselves, right, the bris of Hashem, and Har Amoriah. And of course, in this parak, that's the proof for Har Amoriah. These were the three areas in Eretz Yisrael that we bought. And again, like Marvin's saying, you know, here you can look in Tanakh, right? We bought this fair and square. We bought Hebron, we bought the Makom HaMikdash, and we bought Har Gerizim and Har Eval. The rest of it we conquered, but this part, these we bought. But again, going back to what we mentioned before, either way, we see that that we're ending on a high note here. That even though David HaMelech's time is winding down, and this perek begins in a tragic fashion, but it ends on a high note as we begin the process of the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, Hadron Allah. Hadron Allah, Sefer Shmuel Beis. Or Sefer Shmuel.
What was the
color? No, because David said, whoever doesn't say should be Yechonik Begrona. Whoever doesn't give an answer to the Shiloh.
I thought he gave the answer.
He did. That's the Gemara's point. That when a Chacham gives a Klala, even if there was a Tanai, there was a condition to the Klala, the Klala is going to come true no matter what. As soon as it comes out of the Chacham's mouth, it comes true.
What was the Klala that he said
there? Yechonik Begrona. That was the Klala.
What Sefer are we bringing next week?
Malachim.
Malachim.
Okay.
It seems like that was the vote. Malachim.
Okay. Ooh,